I once heard a testimony of a Christian brother who was asked by his non-believing workers, and they asked him, as a Christian, they asked, how can you endure the boredom and stress and drudgery of life without enjoying the pleasures of the world, like they were enjoying, meaning going out with them and getting drunk and doing who knows what. And so they were honestly asking, how do you do it? And I just love how he answered the question, because he didn't say, I don't go out with you guys because I'm not supposed to. Or he didn't say, I don't do these things because I want to do what is right. Now, those answers are correct answers, but they don't really get to the heart of it, because they could still answer, I know you're supposed to not do these things, and I know you're supposed to do the right things, but why? You see, it doesn't get to the really heart of the question. It's not a really satisfying answers. But what he said to them is that, looking at them, he said, I have a kind of profound joy and delight that you guys cannot even imagine. And I love that, because it gets to the heart of what it means to really know and experience and love God in Christ. Because it's not just about duties. It's not just about doing the right thing. At the heart of it is this joy and delight that we find in God. In the psalm we just read, David reminds us, at the heart of the life of Christian faith is the fullness of joy and pleasures that we experience in the presence of God. When we go beyond many different activities we find in Christian experience, such as reading and studying the Bible, praying, and other spiritual disciplines like small group meetings and one-on-one meetings, taking part in different worship services, Bible studies, praise and worship time, and various other church activities, when we go beyond all these good and necessary things we find in Christian walk, at the center of it all, there is the person of the living God, God Himself. Christian life is more than these things that we do. There is actual living God. And He is the end. He is the goal. And everything else is just a means to pursue this living God. David says in verse 2, he says, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. See, David understood this. He didn't just participate in religious activities and ceremonies. He understood that at the heart of it all, that there is this person of God. And David knew that God is the goal of our existence, because God Himself, and not what He can give to us or what He can do for us, but God Himself is that which truly fills us with utmost joy and pleasures. David got this. He knew this. So he says that apart from God, there really is no good things. Nothing really matters. David didn't find anything really good. He didn't find pleasure in anything else when he didn't have God. Because God is the one for whom He created us. He is the one in whom we find our most profound, most delightful, and beautiful love and satisfaction. All of us, we have this deep and powerful longings for something or someone truly beautiful and truly delightful, someone who is perfect. We long for this. And in our idolatrous moments, we project this longing on a person, and often seek our objects of our longings in a person of opposite sex. But no mere human being is able to satisfy our longings for this perfect beauty and infinite greatness. In verse 5, David confesses that God is his chosen portion, which is another way of saying his chosen inheritance, which is the ancient Jewish way of saying that God is his everything. So verse 5, he says, Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my life. That is, you hold my future. You're my everything. And then in verse 6, he says, indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. God, you are my portion, you're my inheritance, you're my everything, and what a beautiful inheritance you are. Verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, because David saw and understood, by the help of the Holy Spirit, the infinite beauty, the preciousness and greatness of God. He is overjoyed at the prospect of being in the presence of God forever. See, that captures the essence of genuine Christian experience. See, everything else that we do is designed to drive us to this ultimate goal of coming to encounter and to know and experience and enjoy the living God. So in verse 11, he says, you make known to me the path of life. God, you make known to me the path of true life, what it means to truly live. You show me that. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So often we seek for fullness of joy. Often we experience different kinds of joys and delights here and there, but they don't truly satisfy us. And more we pursue them, we experience what we call diminishing return, right? More we seek, more we try to have them, we get less and less fulfillment of that whatever we're pursuing. But David says, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is not anti-pleasures. He is for true and everlasting pleasures. This truth David saw and understood. And this truth is at the very heart of what Christian life is all about. I really pray that in last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, that God has revealed to you that he's more than religious activities and more than rituals, that there is the blazing fire of the presence of God in Christ, that you see this God, you have come to know this God, and I pray that you will continue to pursue this God, this presence of God, this joy in God, all the days of your life. Because you see that God is the very source of your life, joy, and pleasures. That no joys and pleasures of this world can compare. And that you will see that our life of Christian faith is sustained and strengthened and energized by this vision of God. This joy and delight in who God is and how amazing and perfect and beautiful he is. I would like to close our message with two applications. I mean, I could go on with many applications, but just two this morning, because we have to end early. Number one, remember that when we lose our focus on God himself and his glory, when we forget that he's good, that he's really, really, really good, mind-blowingly good. When we forget this, and we forget that the whole point of it all in what we do as Christians is about seeking, pursuing, and experiencing this God. When we forget all these things, then That's when we start to lose our motivation and our energy and our strength and our passion that we once felt. And we start to grow cold in our faith. And we start to drift. And things of this world start to look good and attractive when we lose focus on our God. And we begin to burn out. And we start to get resentful and we get grumpy for all the things that we do as Christians. I've seen many grumpy Christians in my days, and I often see that in my heart as well. Because so often as we live our lives in the busyness of our lives, because you know, modern life has so many distractions and so many things that pull us in so many directions, and then we get so busy, even with Christian things and churchy things, right? And then as in the midst of our busyness, and we think we're doing what we're supposed to do, but when we forget, when we lose the focus on God Himself, that's when we start to be inflated of the genuine energy and strength and passion, and everything else just becomes chores and burdens and drudgeries. And that's when we start to become Pharisaic. And we just seek other comforts and other affirmations of our egos and our pride. So I just want to remind you to be reminded from Psalm 16 and other passages. And constantly, daily, in your quiet times and devotional times, remind yourself that the very heart and soul of everything that we do is about God, the living God, how good and how amazing, how precious He is. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you grasp this reality and be reminded in a fresh way once again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help, ask Him that you would experience and taste how good He is once again, again and again as you need. Because if we forget the center, if we forget the focus of the most important thing, the heart and soul and the very essence of what it means to be a follower of Christ, then everything else will fall apart. So don't let go of the center in the midst of your business, in terms of your work or further studies or your family responsibilities or whatever. Don't let go of the center, which is God Himself. And that's why we do quiet times. That's why we pray every day, because we don't want to let go of the center. Everything, the busyness, everything in this world will try to pull us away, which is my second point, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So don't let go of God, because everything else in our life of faith flows out from seeing how good and how real and how great God is. See, essentially, we're called to be the lovers of God above all things. Not good deacons, not good evangelists, right? Everything else, all that flows out of being a true lovers of God. Don't settle for religiosities. Don't settle for anything else. You got to see that God is real, and you got to know how good He is. If you see that by the power of God, then everything else becomes so natural. It just oozes out. Jesus talks about the fountain of living water gushing out from your belly. It's organic. It's not mechanical. It is done by the power of God. People who value God above all things and live out that love for God by faithfully following the examples of Christ. So that's my first exhortation to you this morning. Second exhortation and the last one. The world and the enemy of our soul They will want to shake us loose from the love of God and following Christ. They are coming for us. In some way, commencement is a celebration of what God has given us and what God has done for us in college. But in another way, I'm afraid it is you're entering into a whole nother world of temptations and attacks from the enemy, from the world. They're going to try to impress us, entice us, threaten us, peer pressure us with shiny and impressive things of this world to steer us away from God Himself. It could be money, security, prestige, status, respect, or even close relationships. They're going to come at us with guns blazing and trying to tear us away from God. And guess what? We have no chance of resisting these temptations of the world and the enemy apart from God intervening in our lives and showing us that He is real and He is much, much, much better than what the world has to offer. So I pray that as you enter into, in many ways, much more difficult realm of spiritual battle, spiritual struggle, to hold on faithfully to God, I pray that by the grace of God, that you would hold on to God. If I wish you guys all the best, all the blessings of God, but the most important thing, I frankly, I don't really care about anything else. The most important thing is that you remain faithful to God and hold on to God no matter what. That you sacrifice, you do whatever you have to do to resist the temptations and subtle and tricky compromises and lies of this world that comes from even from other Christians, other people who claim to know and love God. That you hold on to the Word, that you hold on to God and you stay faithful. I pray that you will fight and overcome envying the people with more money, more prestige, more degrees, higher GPAs, better jobs, better cars, better houses, because you see that in Christ, you have something infinitely greater in the person of God. This is how we glorify God, not by excelling in the world. That's not how we glorify God. We glorify God when we forego of things of this world in order to hold on tightly to God. That honors God. That magnifies the worth and beauty and preciousness of God. So I pray that you see this by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit in your life, that He will make this crystally clear. That it's not about all the things that this world will tell you that life is all about. It's not about those things. Bible reminds us again and again, it's all about God. It's about heaven and hell. I know that's not popular, even among Christians, to reduce the essence of life into heaven and hell. But that is about what it is. It is about the kingdom of God. It is about God. And it is not about us. It is about God. It is about kingdom of God and not about this world. Jesus doesn't frankly care that much about how we live our lives in this world. Jesus says we'd rather enter into heaven crippled than thrown our whole healthy body into eternal hell. So I pray that you get that. I know that's not popular. I know truths like that are looked down upon by the world. But I pray that you see that is at the very heart of the gospel. Let me close in prayer for us. Father, we are so thankful that you didn't merely give us religion, religious activities and rituals, oh God, but Lord, that you have shown us that there is a living God, that you are there, you are real, and you are most supremely glorious, joy-inducing, and fulfilling than in comparison to anything else in this world. Father, we pray that you would sustain our faith, that you would continue to work powerfully and graciously and rescue our faith, Lord, that we could stand before you on the day of Christ, Lord, rejoicing because of your grace. Receive all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.